Okay, so welcome to everybody, both those who are coming in by video, those who are calling in. We're going to spend some time together, Yirtzeh Hashem, talking, learning about Inyanei Purim. But I want to reopen with the post I'd sent out earlier this morning, the conference call last night by Rabbi Dr. Glatt and Dr. Blumenthal. Rabbi Dr. Glatt is a Talmud Chacham who's involved in Rabbanus in the five towns and is also an infectious disease expert. He's an epidemiologist and chief of infectious diseases at a local hospital. So he spoke on the conference call. Rabbi Dr. Glatt spoke from a medical perspective, and then Dr. Blumenthal, who's a prominent firm psychologist, spoke from a psychological perspective. The title was Keeping Healthy, Keeping Calm, and that was the mood and the message as well. That there are certain practical things one should do, and at the same time not to overestimate, not to underestimate the risk, but not to overestimate the risk. Dr. Glatt points out that at this point, flu is still far greater risk than corona. So he outlines some common sense things that people should do, and obviously people in a unique risk category have to be more on guard, but at the same time not to get sucked in to panic. That is very important. I wanted to, you guys mentioned before, during our pre-shear schmoozing, one fellow had the courage to mention that he's feeling anxious. I imagine many others are in the back of their minds feeling anxious as well. So it's a less than 40-minute presentation, highly recommended later today to listen to that. And obviously there is a caveat on the YU Torah post that I sent out to that conference call. There is a caveat that as facts on the ground change, so some of the medical information may become outdated. But for now, both from the medical data perspective, and there are some Piskei Halacha, and the psychological perspective, I think it's kedai to spend time listening to that post. And with that in mind, Baruch Hashem, Purim is not canceled. And as Dr. Glatt stressed, there is no reason for, at this point, for healthy people to be avoiding normal social interaction. There's no reason for healthy people to be avoiding going to shul. There's no reason for healthy people to not give Mishloach Manos or come to Mikra Megillah. So let's spend some time talking about the Arba Mitzvos of Purim. We had last week had a chance to have an Ian Shear on the Mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, and we began to see the nature of the Mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, the Chakira over whether it is primarily a mitzvah that's connected to the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, a mitzvah to provide for the Sudas Purim, that Trumas Hadashin says. Maybe, as the Rambam says, it's actually an extension of the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. V'chein, that we saw the Rambam's V'chein. And not only do I have a Sudas Purim, which is a expansive Sudas Yantim in terms of the quantity of food and drink that I'm having at my Suda, but it's expansive as well, a different dimension, in the sense that I participate in multiple sudas because I not only do I eat at my suda, but I provide for yours as well. That was one approach to Mishloach Manos. The other approach was that of the Manos HaLevi, the Chasam Sofer presents, the Manos HaLevi, and perhaps Ramah as well, who seem to focus on Mishloach Manos, not as a result-oriented, recipient-oriented, I'm providing you with some food for your Seuda, but instead an action-oriented or a gesture-oriented. The mitzvah is to make a friendly gesture. The mitzvah is to be marbe reyes. That's why the Ramah says even if the recipient never gets it, the recipient refuses it, I'm still yotze. That would explain the position which the Trumas Hadashin rejects, that perhaps Mishloach Manos need not be food, or need not be edible food. We had left off last time talking about the intriguing Gemara and Machlokas Rashi and Rambam. The Gemara speaks of the Amoraim who were Machlof Yisudas Sayu HaDayri, Chanina Bar Avin and Abaye Bar Avin. They would trade Seudos. They would switch off. So what does switching off mean? So the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, say that it means that they would swap. Every year, Rabbi Chanina would make a Suda, give it to Abaye would prepare a suda and give it to Rav Chanina. So that's a very clear way of fulfilling Mishloach Manos, and that's how the Rambam Mishloach Manos presents it. It's a way of fulfilling Mishloach Manos. The Chiddush might be, Shua showed me some posts can discuss, the Chiddush, so it seems so obvious, what's even the Chiddush at all that one can be Yotzi Mishloach Manos that way? So the Chiddush might be, very simply, that one could have argued at a certain point, if I'm giving you with the expectation that you're going to give me, so maybe it takes away from the givingness. Okay. But again, that notion that they were swapping every year, each one gave to the other, so that was obviously each one was being Makai in the midst of Mishloach Manos. The problem arises once you look at Rashi, who seems to say that they switched off years. One year, Chanina would give to Abaye. The next year, Abaye would give to Chanina. Then, of course, raises the question, which Poskim on the page of Shulchan Aruch raise. So how are you Yotze anything? Poskim on the page of the Tur in the Shulchan Aruch, and Tzim Tafer Ish Tanei, so how are you Yotze anything? So the idea that several Poskim suggest is the fact that Abaye was Yotze even in a year when he wasn't giving. How could that be? If it's my year to receive, so how am I Yotze Mishloach Manos? So you could read Rashi as saying, indeed you're not, but then what's the Chiddush? And that's a point that the Beis Yosef makes. So but if you take the approach of the Manos HaLevis, this seems to work well. One could argue that if it's a friendly gesture, if the mitzvah is to be friendly, so perhaps I don't even have to give Mishloach Manos every year. Perhaps, as some posts can argue, as long as I'm involved every year in a system which keeps the friendship rolling, we have a system whereby I give you and the next year you give me, we're both Yotze every year by participating in that system. So this is a very rich Chakir. I think I mentioned last time also Rabbi Feldman had noted, he told me later, it's Satmar Rav has this in his Sefer, that the idea of Mishloach Manos as a gesture might even explain the chumrah of the Binyan Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, to require Mishloach. The may Mishloach Manos means it must be sent by messenger, that you cannot be Yotze yourself. Well, where's the logic in that? It seems so counterintuitive. It's a chiddush in the Gemara sense. That's davar Yotze min hakal. Usually we say mitzvah bo Yoser mi b'shlucho. Even when we accept shlichus, usually shlichus is the second best to doing it yourself. So what would be the logic in saying, as the Binyan Tzion does, that here we insist it has to be a deshlich, it cannot be me. Normally the din is that kam milsa de'ilah matzi avet shlichol matzi mashvi. Usually the din is, if I cannot do it myself, then I cannot appoint an agent. So how do you make sense of the requirement of agency, the requirement of a messenger? It needs to be indirect. So Rabbi Feldman shared from the Satmar Rav that from a gesture perspective, you understand, yes, the mitzvah is I should give it to you, but the gesture is enhanced. It's a far more significant gesture, our friendship, if I send it by messenger, because then it's clear there was premeditated. It's not just, oh, I happened to bump into you in the street, so in the moment I hand you Mishloach Manos. If I sent it to you, that means that required. That means it clearly took preparation and thought. I planned to give it to you. And that makes for a much more meaningful show of friendship. And Moshel Lama Davar Domeh, it's the difference between getting a happy birthday text and a happy birthday card. Now, you get a text or a post from a friend, happy birthday, so that may or may not show an awful lot of thought. It could be actually thought about and cares, or it could just be a notification popped up to him that it's your birthday, so he sends you a 2-second text. How much does it actually mean? But if you get a paper card, a physical card handed to you, so a card means an awful lot, because a card means someone took the time to go to the store and buy a card and write a message on it and handed it to you. So that's that means a lot more. So that's what the Satmar Rav suggests. I don't know if the Satmar Rav gave birthday cards. Maybe he did. But the Satmar Rav suggests that's the idea of the Binyan Tzion. And once you accept Mishloach Manos as being about the friendly gesture, or maybe even that's both, but if an element of it is the expression of friendships, then we understand the need for Mishloach. So I want to take this idea maybe even expand it a little bit more and see where else it takes us. Two intriguing Rambams will expand this idea. Again, I want to focus now that we developed both stadim of the Chakira, now that we developed one approach is that's the friendly gesture, and the other approach is that it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Suda. I want to take the Rambam's approach, that's the Mishloach Manos is an extension of the mitzvah of Suda, and see if it can expand it even further. I want to read to you a Rambam, which you may or may not have in front of you. This is a Rambam in the end of Hilchas Megillah. It was in the Maror Mekomos, if you have them available.
Yes. Way that we could get these Maror Mekomos in front of us?
You want to have this? Absolutely. If you have a computer, I would say go to Safari and take a look at Hilchas Megillah 2:17. Or, if you don't have the Maror Mekomos handy, you can go to Google Classroom, and these Maror Mekomos should already be posted. So in Halacha Tezvav, we had focused on last time, the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Suda and the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Halacha Tezayin, he talks about the mitzvah of Matanos Lavyonim. Of the four mitzvahs of Purim, these are the three that cost money. Mikra Megillah is essentially a free mitzvah. Someone has to have a Megillah, but it doesn't have to be me. I can just come to shul for free and listen to someone else read the Megillah. But these three mitzvahs, Suuda, Mishloach Manos, and Matanos Lavyonim, obviously all involve spending some money every Purim. So here the Rambam, after talking about the three mitzvahs independently, Halacha Yud Zayin, he looks at how do you allocate funds, how do you budget, how do you balance these three mitzvahs. Again, this is Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin. Mutav la'adam laharbos mematanos levyonim, mi laharbos besudaso uvashiluach manos l'reyav. Rambam says, when you're trying to figure out how to diversify your investments in the different mitzvahs of Purim, how are you going to allocate your funds? So if you have discretionary income available, you can afford to spend more than the minimum to have a seuda, and to give two manos to one person, to give two matans to two avyonim, I can afford to spend more freely, more generously in the mitzvahs of Purim. So how should I allocate that spending? So he says, you can spend more on all of them, but it's important to be marba even more in Matanos Avyonim than in Seuda and Mishloach Manos. That is not surprising. We've probably all heard that idea, and we've probably all read that line of the Rambam in fundraising letters that appropriately go about the season of the year, collecting Matanos Avyonim for different needs. Here's the surprising part. Why do you think this is true? How come? Of course you should prioritize Matanos Avyonim, tzedakah, ahead of just having a big fancy suda for myself and giving Mishloach Manos to my friends. Absolutely. The question is why? So I imagine most of us would say, well, because tzedakah is more important than Simchas Purim. It's very nice that I'm enjoying, but tzedakah is more important than having a good time in Purim. Having a good time in Purim is a mitzvah, but tzedakah has to be a priority. The Rambam does not say that. Rabbi say, take a look inside. If you don't have the Rambam in front of you, please listen carefully. He does not say, because tzedakah is more important than simcha. Instead, he says, again, Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, She'ein sham simcha gedola u'mefora. There is no greater, more beautiful simcha, no simcha is more fantastic than l'sameach levanim v'yisomim v'almanos v'gerim. No greater simcha than the simcha I get from giving simcha to people who are down on their luck. That's interesting. It's not that staka trumps simcha. It's all about simcha. The question is, which is the greatest path to simcha? So yes, I will get simcha's purim from filling my belly with a fine suda's purim, and you must. Yes, I will get simcha by expanding the suda's purim to include Mishloach Manos, but a far greater source of simcha is the simcha of taking care of people in need. That's intriguing. In other words, all three are mitzvahs of simcha. And then the Rambam even adds one more line. I remember many years ago, I will spoke several times pre-Purim about the following line. How come taking care of other people will make me more deeply happy than just eating? So Rambam says, "Misameach lev ha'umlalim ha'elu, if I bring joy to these people who are feeling down and downtrodden, domet l'shchina, I'm acting in a way that's similar to Ribbono Shalom. She'nemar lahachios ruach shvalim ulahachios lev nidkoim." The Navi Yishayahu describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They tell you on the side that pasuk is from the 57th parak Nun Zayin of Yishayahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as one who brings new life to the spirits of people who are feeling low. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings new life to the hearts of people who are feeling crushed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in picking up people who are feeling down. So if I'll also do that, when I give my Tanas of Yonah, and I'm involved in picking up people who are feeling down and brightening up their day and their lives, I'm like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Willock said, Gevaldik, Rabbi Yisrael. You know what this means? You know what this means? The Rambam has explained to us that the simcha of physical enjoyment is important. As a matter of fact, on Purim, it's required. I'm mechuyev to have a nice suda. Rambam said before, suda na'akvisha timsiyado, basar, and so on and so forth. I'm mechuyev to enjoy physically. I'm mechuyev to give to my friends. But those are finite simchas. My belly is only so large. My physical existence is bounded. You can only have so much physical simcha, and then it comes to a stop. But the simcha of taking care of others, why does it make me happy? That's something that we could think about all year long. Why does it make me happy to take care of other people? It says that joy, the Rambam is saying, the joy that we feel when we take care of people in need is a joy of plugging into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a metati odei. I'm acting in the divine model. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very invested in picking up the downtrodden. So when we do, we're being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a simchas hanefesh. The simcha of giving of taking care of others is a simcha of the neshama, and the neshama, that's a simcha of the infinite. There's no limit to how much simcha I can draw from taking care of others. It's a beautiful Rambam. It's an inspiring Rambam. It's also an intriguing Rambam. It's yet another case that we've had this year where when you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, there's so much that lies below the surface. We could have just read this Rambam. Okay, you have to give away to Tzedaka, Shine. No, read carefully. It says, it's because it's a greater simcha. It's not that Tzedaka trumps simcha. All three mitzvahs, and let's extract this point. What emerges now is that three of the mitzvahs of Purim are all connected mitzvahs of simcha. There's Seuda, according to Rambam, and its adjunct, Mishloach Manos, which is an extension mitzvah of Suda, and that's Simchas Haguf. And then there's the Simchas HaNefesh of Matanos Avyonim. And these are all mitzvahs of Simchas Purim. Now, let's see. Now that we already have three of the four mitzvahs under the same umbrella, you'll remember that we began the Sugya last week, I believe it was, asking, you know, what are the four mitzvahs of Purim and how are they different or how are they similar? At the time, we saw Mishloach Manos as sort of the odd man out because it seems like such an unusual format for a mitzvah to give presents. But now we're beginning to see that by exploring the details of that mitzvah that seemed like the sore thumb, Mishloach Manos, we begin to see there's actually a lot of unity between the mitzvahs. Mishloach Manos is actually an extension. It's not a freestanding mitzvah, according to Rambam, and that's why it's not Ke'ender Isa. It's an extension of the more familiar mitzvah of Suda, which in turn is parallel in a certain sense to Matanos of Yonim. All three are mitzvahs of Simcha. Can we bring all four mitzvahs under the same umbrella? Let's take a look. Let's turn the page. If you have a Rambam in front of you, you're literally turning the page. If you have the Mar Makomas in front of you, I think you're looking at the other side of the page. You're looking at Hilchas Chanukah Paragimel, Halacha Vav. The Rambam has Megillah and Chanukah, Purim and Chanukah in a single section, Hilchas Megillah v'Chanukah. The first two prakim are about Purim, Hilchas Megillah. The last two prakim are about Hilchas Chanukah. Rambam never has a section which is less than three prakim long. So because Chanukah and Purim are each short, he combines them into one. And as we had a chance to see when we, Chanukah time, the two prakim Hilchas Chanukah are about what the Rambam sees as the two mitzvahs of Chanukah. Halal v'Hoda, which the Rambam translated as Halal and Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. So the fourth parak is Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. The third parak, beginning with Halacha Hey, is about the mitzvah of Halal. So Paragim Halacha Hey talks about Halal on Chanukah in particular. And you make a bracha, and you say Halal Shalom, and so on and so forth. And I want to pick up with Halacha Vav. Paragimel Halacha Vav, Hilchas Chanukah. This is where he expands. Why are we talking about Chanukah? We're not. Halacha Vav is where he gets into Halal in general. And as he says, Paragimel Halacha Vav, the Rama writes, V'lo Halal Shal Chanukah B'lvadu Shemid Divrei Sofrim. It's not only on Chanukah that we have a mitzvah midirabanan of Halal. The Rambam is of the opinion, the Ramban disagrees, but the Rambam is of the opinion that Halal is always derabanan. On any day that you say a full Halal, even if the day itself is daraisa, but Halal is derabanan. And now he goes on to quote the braisa that appears in Erchin and elsewhere, that there are 18 days. Shmona asar yom b'shana mitzvah l'gmar b'henes Halal. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you do not have Yom Tishrei Shel Galios, so there'll be 18 days a year when you say Halel Shalom. 18 days a year when you're Mechuyev to say Halel. Whenever you say Chatzi Halel, it means it's Mitam Minik. 18 days a year is Halel Shalom. What are the 18? Shmonas Yimei HaChag, Shmonas Yimei Chanukah, 8 days of Sukkot, including Shmini Atzeres, 8 days of Chanukah, it's already 16. And the remaining two are Rishon Shel Pesach and Yom Atzeres. First day of Pesach, first day unto Pesach, and the day in Eretz Yisrael of Shavuos. That's it. Now the Rambam wants to know, well, what happened to all the other possible days? And it's not the Rambam really who's asking this question. The Gemara in Erechim asks this question. And let's see how the Rambam quotes the Gemara. Avo Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim ein b'hem halal. No halal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though they are Yom Tovim, why don't they qualify? The Gemara says, it gets very dramatic. The Gemara says that Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, the books of life and death are open in front of Rebbeinu Shalom. We're going to say Shira on such a day, Hayi Tachim. What does that mean in a strict halachic sense? How is that a patur from Halal? So the Rambam translates the Gemara's poetry into prose. If he doesn't say anything about Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mesim, he gives us the essence of what that means. V'fi shehen yimei tshuva v'yira ufacha, the Rambam writes. These are days of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, are days of tshuva. They're days of very sober, even fright. Lo yimei simcha yisrael. They're not days of excessive simcha. Interesting. From that it sounds like, well, what do you see from that Rambam? You don't say Halal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because they're not days of overabundant simcha. So number one, that's how the Rambam is understanding the language of the poetry of the Gemara. Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mesim, Psuchim, Lefanav, Atam, Omer, Mshira, question mark. That means that you may have dinner, not the right time to say Halal because the fact that you may have dinner leads to this Einam Yimei Simcha Yisera. But what does that mean? They're not days of Simcha Yisera. So you see, on the one hand, that there is Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, just not Simcha Yisera, not overabundant Simcha, but there is some Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And in fact, the Rambam here is assuming like those Gaonim who say that there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and was not allowed to fast. Yom Kippur, there's a Chiyuv to fast, despite the Simcha. But there was a Machlokas Gaonim. Is it the fasting Rosh Hashanah a good idea or an usher idea? The Rambam here seems to pretty clearly hold usher. There's a chi of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. I'm not allowed to volunteer to fast. And you also see that what's the mechayev of halal? There is simcha Rosh Hashanah Kippur, but not enough simcha to be mechayev halal. You would need simcha yisera to have the chi of halal, and you don't have simcha yisera Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Meaning, whenever you do have Chiyuv Halal. It's an expression of the Simcha Yisera, the overabundant Simcha. And with that in mind, Rabbi Osai, take a look at the last line of this Rambam. Rambam says, you do say Halal, the beginning of Pesach, and Shavuos, Sukkah Shmi Atzeres, Chanukah, you do say Halal. Rosh Yom Kippur, not enough Simcha. How about Purim? V'lo tiknu Halal b'Purim. We don't say Halal, they were not Mesakein, say Halal on Purim. Why? The Gemara has three explanations. The Gemara asks this question explicitly, in, I believe, both Erechin and Megillah. And the Gemara has three explanations. Two of them are the Zionistic explanations, that the Yeshua of Purim either didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, or it did not result in Jewish sovereignty. So it's apparently Yeshua, but not a Geula, either because it didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, or because it saved us, but Akati Avdi Achashverosh Hanan, we were still under the subjects of the Persian Empire, as opposed to Hanukkah. The Rambam, though, gives a different explanation. The Rambam quotes Rav Nachman, Shekriyas HaMegillah Hi HaHalal. The Mikra Megillah is the Halal, Rav Nachman says. Apparently Rav Nachman holds, you don't need Geula. You would have had a Chiyav Halal even just on Yeshua. And there ought to be a Chiyav Halal on Purim. And there is. But instead of having the regular Halal Mitzvah, you have Mikra Megillah. Kriyasa Zui HaLela. So much so, by the way, Meiri apparently writes, Rabbi Jesse Horn points out to me a couple years ago, Meiri writes, based on this Rambam, that let's say a Jew is stuck without a Megillah. You don't have a Megillah with you, there are no Megillahs around, so Anus Rachamana Patre, you know, if you don't have the chance to fill a mitzvah Megillah, you can't. But the Meiri says, but then you ought to say Halal and Davening. Namish, taking the Rambam's psak like Rav Nachman to its logical conclusion, that we actually accomplish two things, two mitzvahs, when you have Mikra Megillah. One is Mikra Megillah. The other one is Halal. So if you don't have a Megillah, then you have to say Halal the regular way. The ideal way to say Halal on Purim is Mikra Megillah. So that's a fascinating Meiri in terms of taking this Halacha L'maisa. But now let's take this Hashkafa L'maisa. What's the implication of the Rambam? By Paskin like Rav Nachman, he just told us that the Mechayev Halal is Simcha Yisera. How do we express a Simcha Yisera? With what sort of halal do we express a Simcha Yisera of Purim? Through Mikra Megillah. So what emerges, Rabbi Osai, is fascinating. All four mitzvahs of Purim are mitzvahs of Simcha. Sudas Purim and its extension, Mishloach Manos, are physical expressions of Simchas Purim. And then we have two ruchni, spiritual expressions of Simchas Purim. There's a Simcha of giving, of being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acting like HaKadosh Baruch Hu by taking care of others through Matan Savyonim. And there's the spiritual Simcha of speaking to and about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, singing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by noticing the Nisan Nistarim in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us at the time of the Nes Purim as described in the Megillah. So all of the four mitzvahs are really, essentially, mitzvahs of Simcha. I mentioned to you fellows the other week as a riddle, why is it that poskim have the notion that it's mutter in principle to get married on Purim? Earlier this year we learned the sugya of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha Ma'akot Dav Ches. I'm not allowed to get married on Yom Tov or even Chol HaMoed because the Simcha of the wedding would detract from the Simcha of the Yom Tov, the bittul of the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. So how come many poskim are of the opinion that on Purim you're allowed to get married? Again, logistically it's probably not a great idea, but al pi din, if one wanted to get married, it would not be a violation of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. How come? What, does that mean that the Simcha of Purim is such a low-level chiyuv that it's okay to be mevatalit and get married? On the other hand, we're reading here, the Simcha of Purim is so massive. So Rabbi Daniel Feldman once suggested, Adraba. There's no Ein Ma'arvin Davka because of not only the magnitude of the Simcha of Purim, not just that quantitatively it's so big, but qualitatively it's so broad. In other words, the Simcha of the other Yom Tovim celebrate specific events, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ma'amar HaSinai, and perhaps celebrate more generally the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us in the great moments, the Nisim Geluyim. Purim celebrates the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us with the Nisim Nistarim, as we discussed in the past, the Ramban, the end of Bo. Even greater than noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisim Geluyim is the capacity to see Him in everyday life. That's why, as Ramban writes there, that's an even greater madriga, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just occasionally, but all the time, to see that He's always involved in our lives, even when there are no Nisim Geluyim, but there are always Nisim Nistarim. That's the Simcha of Purim. Noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is He taking care of us, mamish, in the great miraculous moments of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Kriyas Yamsuf, but to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always taking care of us. That's a higher Madrega, Ramban writes the end of Bo, and it's a greater Simcha, because it means Hashem is always with us. That's why the Simcha of Purim is so much greater. There's a bigger Seuda than Seudas Yontif. And it's expanded to Mishloach Manos. And there's the absolute Chiyuv to be involved in a Simcha Ruchnis, a Simcha Lashem, both through Matan Savyonim and through Mikra Megillah. Now again, we opt not for Hallel, but for the regular Hallel HaMitzri, but specifically for the Megillah, because Hallel HaMitzri, the usual Hallel, talks about Nisim Gluyim. We want to focus on Nisim Nistarim. That's the message of the Megillah. And that might also be why there's no such thing as Eim Arvah Simcha B'Simcha, because no event is a steer to the Simcha of Purim. If the whole Simcha of Purim is about noticing that Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in every aspect of our lives, and the Simcha that flows from that, and to come back to where we began, the sense of security in Ribbono Shalom, that flows from knowing that even when He's in obvious, He's still, Ribbono Shalom still cares and is still involved with us, no event in my life is a stira to that. Get married in Purim, sure. It's not going to take away from the Simcha of Purim. The Simcha of Purim includes everything. All of life falls under the Simcha of Purim, because the Simcha of Purim is noticing that Kadosh Baruch was involved in the politics too. Kadosh Baruch was involved in everyday life as well. Everything can fall within the rubric of the Simcha of Purim. So I think this is Mitzad HaLamdus, important ideas, beautiful diukim and rishonim. I think authentic and coherent approach Mitzad HaMachshava. And I think from a practical perspective of emuna and bitachon and the calm, the sense, the banishing of panic that can flow from this, this is doubly inyan adiyoma, both in terms of the fear, the health fears that might be lurking in the back of our minds, and in terms of appreciating and throwing ourselves in to the Simcha Purim. Rabbi said there is much more to work on in Yanei Purim. In Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, I would love, we'll see whether we're in yeshiva, hopefully in person, or whether we're once again on Zoom, or we'll wait to see what happens. Hopefully tomorrow, if we're in yeshiva in person, I would love to open Megillahs together, and with the inspiration of the Malbim, take a look and see. I actually learned the Psukim for the first time. As I mentioned the other day, you actually open your eyes and learn the Psukim, the Malbim points out fantastic pieces of the plot that we have been missing for the last 16, 17, 18 years. Whole new layers in terms of understanding the story, whole layers in terms of working through the Psukim with nuance and diuk, and fascinating lessons that we can draw. Hopefully we'll also have the chance to throw ourselves into other practical Yanei Purim lahalacha. We've all heard Megillah many times. There are a number of important issues in Lamdus and Halacha that you probably have not covered in terms of Mikra Megillah and in terms of Amachz HaShakel. So hope we have a chance to look at some of that going forward. And as well to look at practical from the Gemara through the Rishonim to Halacha Maisa, figuring out how our Seudas Purim is supposed to look in the ideal fashion as B'nai Torah La Mahadrin. So I both say you should have a productive day. I mentioned to the makeshift MTA minion that I got to daven with this morning that it's worth taking time, taking a couple of moments to figure out how you want to spend the rest of your day. You so make sure you look back and you want to diversify and allocate your time. So you look back tonight and be proud of how The day is gone. Have a marvelous day, Rabosei. Looking forward to being in touch.